Abdullah Abdul Razak was Malcolm X's personal secretary and was interviewed numerous times by Dr. Marable and his students' research team. He expressed his outrage at the work.
There are so many rumors in this book. I'm going to tell y'all something. I heard that Brother Malcolm was going to marry Maya Angelou. I heard that he was going to marry so many women. And this man has him as a homosexual. I was around Brother Malcolm from 1958 until 1965, and the only time I heard him even use the word homosexual, he said, "Brother, it's one thing that Islam cannot cure. That's a homosexuality." The man was a straight arrow. Now, how Manning Marable could make up this claptrap? He talked about Che Guevara. He don't know whether Malcolm met Che Guevara, and if so, Che Guevara wouldn't want to come to the Audubon Bar. That's claptrap. On December the 13th, 1964, in the presence of Muhammad Abdurrahman Babu and Che Guevara, and Che Guevara had a little dude with him that had a pistol long as his leg was, said that him and this little guy overthrew some police barrack or something and started a revolution. And Che Guevara wanted to come to the Audubon Ballroom. And Malcolm said, no, he did not think it was a good idea. And later on in the car, Malcolm said, "You see how messed up this color situation is?" He said, "Now Che Guevara is a revolutionary."
Author and activist Rosemary Mealy took exception with the lack of serious attention given to women in Marable's book.
Many black and other progressive women played key roles that resulted in Malcolm's disrupting the norm. However, when such women, to name a few, are mentioned in the text, they are relegated to footnotes cited from their own text and or other sources paraphrased as tangentially related historical facts, while other women who nobly influenced Malcolm's political development are simply mentioned in passing. Some of these women were Yuri Kochiyama, Maya Angelou, whose encounters with Malcolm are also culled from previously published works or Malcolm's papers.
Marable described the Nation of Islam as a cult, and Professor Bill Strickland, who co-founded the Institute of the Black World, detects a political bias in his book.
Manning begins the book saying Malcolm X's remarks were controversial and provocative, but it doesn't say controversial and provocative to whom. And then he begins talking about March the 17th, 1964. Malcolm says, in effect, if white people do not reform themselves, the masses are going to rise up. Manning then attempts to rebuff Malcolm by quoting the New York City police commissioner, who in essence says Malcolm is race baiting and is a rabble rouser and does not represent the sentiments of civil rights leaders. On July 17th, 1964, Harlem erupts, see? And not just Harlem, Rochester, and Philadelphia, and Paterson, New Jersey, and seven other cities erupted. And instead of Manning pointing out the accuracy of Malcolm's prediction, it is omitted entirely, leaving him legitimizing the critique of the white police commissioner.
The sentiment is shared by author, musician, and revolutionary poet Amiri Baraka, who criticized the book for its inconsistent methodology.
When I wrote the FBI asking for our papers, my wife and I, the head of the FBI said there was no such thing.
Yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they do. I had to get somebody else, Allen Ginsberg's lawyer, to ask them for the papers. We got 3,000 papers at a dime a piece. Right? It was my wife, Amina, who said, you know, the way they got these papers locked up here, they got some part blanked out. And they got some part that they let you see. How do you know the stuff that they let you see is not intended to confuse you? But the point is, if you are using those papers as your sources, then why do you think they would tell you? These are the people that killed Malcolm X. You understand? Not the Nation of Islam. There better have been people in there jealous and all that. But the people who killed Malcolm X was the United States government. You better understand that.
But his wife, poet, songstress, and activist Amina Baraka gives credit to Marable's book for identifying Malcolm X's enemies and giving perspective to his historical role as a revolutionary.
First, the vicious rumors and speculations was an attempt to destroy his character, make him a hypocrite. These vicious rumors were another attempt to destroy his wife, Dr. Betty Shabazz, therefore destroying his home life, disrupting his ability to function in the community at home and abroad. These were not aimless rumors. Malcolm was organizing the working class, the most oppressed, the poor, prisoners, women, students. He had gained respect and support of black intellectuals. He was meeting with African revolutionaries, heads of state, white leftists, meeting with revolutionaries in the Caribbean, Latin America, Asia, black labor leaders, church people. He was building a powerful base. A base that could build a working class party and an international united front. Malcolm had become a serious threat to imperialism.
But for Professor William Sales, even as the book is being touted as the definitive biography of Malcolm X, it falls short in providing a real answer to the question about his assassination.
Manning refuses to seriously speculate about an active role for the security apparatus of the state in the assassination of Malcolm X until there are more documents released. This is a weak position to have taken, given the fact that he's written over 490 pages that are filled with undocumented or scantily documented allegations of marital infidelity and betrayal of Malcolm by some of his closest associates. Malcolm and Dr. King are the two most important American figures of the last part of the 20th century. And therefore, he has to be seriously studied. His words cannot be subordinated to demands of the market or the profit motive, or the attempt to corner the market as a public intellectual.
For the WBAI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.